Good morning, everyone. We begin with the crisis in Gaza, where there is a ceasefire proposal floated by Egypt and France circulating. No details yet. Israel has announced a pause in hostilities for the delivery of aid inside Gaza, but at the same time launched its single deadliest attack in its assault against militants in Gaza. 30 Palestinians, at least, were killed when mortar rounds hit a United Nations school sheltering refugees. Israel says it was a response to mortar fire. It says it's coming from within United Nations facilities. Joining us with details is Isabel Kirshner, reporting for our partners, The New York Times, on her way into Gaza. Isabel, what can you tell us about the latest attack and this escalation?
Well, the details are not entirely clear. The United Nations, which runs the school, has asked for an independent inquiry to try and establish exactly what happened. But as you said, the army, the military here is saying that it was firing in response to mortar shells fired from the area of the school, not necessarily within the school building itself, but very close and around the school. And most of the people who were killed in the Israeli counter-strike, if that was indeed what happened, were also in the vicinity of the school. Many of them were waiting outside, from what we were hearing from inside Gaza. They were waiting outside to be allowed into the school where they were seeking refuge. Many of them had come from areas further north in the Gaza Strip where the battles have been raging, and they were actually coming to what they felt would be a safer refuge. And most of the victims, the casualties, seem to have been outside the school in the street. But as you've probably heard, the military here is saying that among those who were killed were some Hamas operatives who they named. And we actually had a witness account yesterday, very soon after the incident, from a boy who was at the scene and whose brother was badly injured in the Israeli strike, who had also witnessed seeing one of these operatives at the scene at the time. So the details are murky, and unless there is some kind of serious inquiry, it's not sure that it will ever really be established exactly what happened, and there might always be different versions. The question of where this takes the confrontation and this particular phase of the conflict, whether it's one of these turning points that changes the way the Israeli military campaign goes or not, also remains to be seen.
Isabel, it does seem clear, though, that as the humanitarian crisis escalates inside Gaza, facilities like the UN facility get more and more mobbed with people seeking refuge and therefore become more vulnerable to civilian casualties if Hamas fighters go anywhere near such places.
Well, that's absolutely true, John. And, you know, the Israeli military has been asserting all week that Hamas has made a strategy out of acting from within the most densely populated areas, trying to lure the Israeli forces in as much as possible where the Hamas fighters feel they have more of an advantage. And so far, the ground forces, the ground campaign that Israel began on Saturday evening, hasn't yet gone right into the heart of the cities and into the refugee camps. The forces have been on the outskirts in northern Gaza and areas around the cities surrounding Gaza City, and from what we were hearing yesterday, on the outskirts of Khan Yunis in the south. But they weren't really battling in the streets of the cities and in the alleys of the refugee camps yet. Whether that is going to be the next phase or not, I think, you know, depends largely on decisions Israel has to take and might be discussing in the cabinet right now of whether to stop at this point and examine ceasefire proposals, which, you know, the diplomatic process seems to have moved into higher gear as a result of yesterday's incident at the school.
Well, you do seem to point out there is a pause in the ground force, the ground fighting, and escalation in the air campaign at the same time, and it's had some brutal consequences in the short term, at the very least. Isabel, thanks so much for joining us. Isabel Kirshner, New York Times reporter, on her way into Gaza.
I'm Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.